Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters. This is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Diane Ravitch, who's a professor in New York University Steinhardt School of Education and one of America's best-known education experts. She served as Assistant Secretary of Education under George H.W. Bush through intensive speaking and writing, including books such as Left Back and The Language Police. She established a reputation as a conservative champion of school choice testing standards, No Child Left Behind, and other programs aimed at making schools more efficient and effective. In her latest book, The Death and Life of the Great American School System, Ravitch explains how she came to make a radical break with those policies, and she now blogs at dianeravitch.net. Welcome to Background Briefing, Diane Ravitch.
Thank you very much. It's wonderful to be with you.
And this experiment underway in Louisiana, kicked off by Governor Bobby Jindal, it's extraordinary that this could be a test case, right, for a broader Republican agenda. I'm not inflaming things by suggesting that this is a part of a kind of legislation strategy that's it's happened with a lot of conservative Republican governors in various states around the country?
Well, it's actually more than a test case because it's the rollout of the full right-wing agenda. Indiana has already, in the last year, adopted vouchers. Michelle Rhee was there urging on Governor Mitch Daniels. Governor Scott Walker, whose recall election is going to be this week, he's also expanded the voucher program in Wisconsin, even though the Milwaukee voucher program has been a dismal failure. And Bobby Jindal has taken it to the next level. He has a Republican legislature, and he pushed through, in a matter of days, a very radical privatization program so that more than half the kids in the state, something like 400,000 plus, are now eligible to receive vouchers to go to any private or religious school of their choice. Only 5,000 seats are available, and it turns out that a large number of these seats are available in these small church-based schools. Some of them have only 14 or 20 or 30 students. The largest number of vouchers is going to a Bible church that has 115 students, and they've offered to take over 300 students on vouchers. This will be millions of dollars of state money that will come to this church. Most of the instruction in this particular church school, which is called the New Living Word School, most of the instruction is done by DVDs. So they also, needless to say, in these small church schools, do not teach evolution. So for the state of Louisiana to call this education reform is a bad joke.
So this education reform underway now in Louisiana, it also seems to have a considerable loophole, should we say, about the notion of these private sector vendors setting up these apprenticeship schools with industry trade groups. And is that in any way modeling the kind of what goes on at Angola, Louisiana, which is the largest prison there, that has a kind of private-public function where the inmates literally are indentured labor? Is this possible that we could have these kids working for companies that produce products and they end up, in the name of getting an apprenticeship, or actually free labor?
Well, I don't know that I would compare it to Angola. I would just compare it to an effort to eliminate public education, because whereas this year, starting in September, almost half the kids in the state are eligible for vouchers, next year the state is going to offer many vouchers for any kind of educational program offered by any private vendor, any business, any corporation, and there will be vendors that go into business specifically to get these mini vouchers. The thing to bear in mind is that all these vouchers, and by the way, it's not just vouchers, there's also going to be a dramatic expansion in charter schools, but the vouchers, the charters, the many vouchers to go to private vendors, many vouchers for apprenticeships and so forth, all of this comes right out of the public school budget, which is not being increased by a dollar. And all of this is done at the same time that they are removing any tenure or job protection from teachers, and removing any kind of extra pay for getting a master's degree. So and by the way, teachers who teach in charter schools don't even need to be certified. So all of this has been called education reform. It's been hailed by Jeb Bush, the former governor of Florida, also by the state superintendents in some of the very, very conservative states, as being a great step forward. What it actually is a rollout of what Romney is promising to do for the nation if he's elected.
But so all this money that is literally being transferred from the public school system to this sort of unknown experimental system of vouchers.
What it is, to be perfectly honest, it's the free market. It's saying that the free market works best, that entrepreneurs know best, and you should just, to the greatest extent possible, remove the government. In fact, the state superintendent of education said government doesn't know better than any parent, which he's basically saying, I, with my degrees and being a state commissioner, know nothing about how to improve or provide schools, and the least educated parent in the state of Louisiana knows more than I do. But what they're doing is creating a free market system where you can choose to take your public dollars anywhere you want and spend it in any way you want, and the public system will be left beggared.
But it's not a free market system, Diane Ravitch. It is a transfer of public money into private hands, and just like these for-profit colleges, that a lot of whom are complete rackets, where they get young vets and aspiring minority kids to enroll in these so-called for-profit colleges, which offer a very dubious education, a kind of worth certificate, but take federal money, which then they charge back to these kids at usurious interest rates and indenture them with debts and no education. It seems to me this is the same system. I don't know how you could call it free enterprise.
They're looking on this as a market model, because they're saying to anyone and everyone, if you have online charter schools or if you can just induce the kids to buy your product, you use your public money and you can purchase whatever you want. Now, maybe that's not a free market, but the only difference with higher education is, whereas the students in higher education end up with tremendous debts, the students in K through 12 will not have debt. They'll just have no education, a very, very bad education.
So tell us about how this could sort of metastasize into a national dumbing down, if you will.
Well, if you can imagine a state government, like in this case Indiana, Louisiana, and Wisconsin, saying that you can take your public dollars and go anywhere, you're basically eroding the commons. You're eroding the public sphere and turning education over to the private sector, to free market, to free enterprise. We have already got a lot of evidence that they don't do a better job of education. In fact, with the online charter schools, the virtual academies that are proliferating all over the country, I mean, that's the fastest growing sector now, is the for-profit online virtual school. They provide a terrible education. There's a very high dropout rate. About 50% of the kids will drop out in a year, and they just keep enrolling more and enrolling more. They're taking money out of the public sector and transferring it to their shareholders. But I think that what is worse than having low test scores is that they're destroying the public education system, which was created really not just to give kids higher test scores, but to create a sense of citizenship and a sense of an American, democratic obligation that we have to our community to educate the children of the community, and not to hand them over to any huckster saying, I am a school.
So how are they getting away with it? Obviously there must be in this mix at least some culpability on the part of, not so much culpability, but a recognition that public education is failing a lot of parents. This, of course, is going to kill it off altogether. It's hardly a fix. It's a death sentence,
I mean, there are two things at work. One is this organization called ALEC, which I'm sure you're familiar with. And ALEC, which is a right-wing legislative group, develops model legislation. They have model legislation for privatization, for vouchers, for charters, for stripping teachers of their collective bargaining rights and of tenure and seniority and so forth. So Jindal, Daniels, all the other right-wing and conservative governors are using the ALEC model, and sometimes they vary it a little, sometimes they copy it word for word. But the other side of this is that none of these governors have gone to a referendum, because in a referendum these ideas would be voted down. But because of the sweep of so many states in 2010, they've been able to push this very radical privatization agenda. And they call what is so confusing to the public is that it's called education reform. So they keep saying they are the reformers and this is education reform, and it's a shell game. And you know, frankly, the Obama administration has been courting some of the same ideas because they've been promoting charter schools, and they have not exactly been valiant in standing up against the governors like John Kasich in Ohio, Tom Corbett in Pennsylvania, Mitch Daniels in Indiana. I mean, when as the privatization movement advances, the only place where you can differentiate between Obama and what Bobby Jindal is doing is on the subject of vouchers. But they have allowed this. They have not stood up against the for-profit push, nor have they stood up against the charters. In fact, they've encouraged charters.
Well, Diane Ravitch, though, again, professor in New York University Steinhardt School of Education and formerly the Assistant Secretary of Education under George H.W. Bush, and she's the author of The Death and Life of the Great American School System, and she also blogs at dianeravitch.net. But you would think that what would get Obama's attention and by extension the Democrats' attention is that it seems to me inherent in this ALEC scheme to privatize education and with Louisiana already the test case underway would be if you're teaching this creationism and Bible-based, the book of Genesis instead of evolution and serving the kind of religious right. This is actually a tremendous funding stream for the religious right, since they're the ones that that have all these little sort of schools, church-based schools. Aren't you, in effect, creating a permanent Republican majority, albeit an uneducated, ignorant majority, but nevertheless a majority?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, we've yet to see. There's always another election. I'm very hopeful that Scott Walker will be recalled, and if he's not recalled now, maybe somebody else will beat him next time. But American politics doesn't usually go just in one direction. And I think that as people begin, this is what I call a wake the town and tell the people kind of moment, where you really have to let the public know these guys calling themselves reformers are not reformers. They have a lot of Wall Street money behind them. They have a lot of billionaire money behind them. The number of right-wing billionaires, starting with the Koch brothers, but going on to the Amway money and a bunch of other billionaires in different states, North Carolina, Nevada, on and on, they have a tremendous interest in getting the government out of the public sector. Now, I think it's really important to understand that there is a narrative here, and it starts with No Child Left Behind, where everybody has to take a test, and if you're not 100%, you're failing. And so we hear this refrain again and again, American education is failing. What they don't tell you, because this is a prelude to privatization, is the failure narrative. What they don't tell you is that on the only valid measure that we have of American education performance, it's called the National Assessment of Educational Progress. It's a federal testing program that has no stakes attached to it. The test scores today are the highest they've ever been in our history in math and reading. The highest for whites, blacks, Hispanics, Asians, the highest ever. And what they also will not admit is the graduation rates. The high school graduation rates are the highest in our history. So, sure, the scores could be higher, the graduation rates could be higher. American education is not failing. But we have fallen into accepting their narrative. And their narrative is the schools are failing, hand them over to private enterprise. So we have to be careful not to let them control the narrative. And to say there are problems, we certainly need to do much better, particularly in the inner cities where kids are not getting the education that they should. But the basic problem in the inner city is poverty. It's not bad schools. The schools will frequently be doing a heroic job under the most impossible circumstances with massive budget cuts. And nowhere in the country have there been bigger budget cuts than in the state of California. But you can't cut the budget and then say the schools are failing when you have terribly overcrowded classes and losing teachers and closing the libraries and eliminating the arts programs. And then the charters come along and say, well, we can provide all that. Send your kids to our private school. Excuse me, our privately funded, our privately managed school with public money. So I think there is a narrative that we have to be careful not to buy into. That is that we have problems, but American education is not doing all that badly. When you look at the international assessments, which all these reformers love to say, look at, we're only number 14 or number 15. When you look at the kids who are in low poverty schools, they're first in the world. They're way ahead of Finland, Japan, and Korea, Singapore. So it's our big issue in this society is that we tolerate the fact that more than 20% of the kids, it's close to 25% of the kids, are now living in poverty. And we are number one in the world among the advanced nations in child poverty. That's our problem, not our teachers.
So just in closing, Diane Ravitch, Exxon, of course, has an advertising campaign on television now saying exactly what you just said, that America's lagging behind. They don't say what they're going to do about it. Mm-hmm. So what I'm questioning here is, I would think that American capitalists, and particularly these big corporations, at the end of the day would want to have an educated workforce, but perhaps they don't. I understand the short-sighted greed of the Koch brothers and others who are interested in getting hold of all this public money. And if you mentioned that Wall Street's in on the act. Give us a sense of whether this is short-term greedy thinking on the part of our powerful plutocrats, or is there any constituency out there in corporate America that recognizes the value of an educated populace?
Well, you know, most of these companies that you refer to as sort of the corporate leadership are not even American companies. They're globalized companies that don't have, their corporations don't really have any roots in any society. And they can, it's sort of good corporate public relations to talk about we want to improve education. But I would suggest to you that you look, for example, at the recent report of the Council on Foreign Relations, which was written by, or at least chaired by, Condoleezza Rice and Joel Klein. And the whole thesis of the report is our schools are a disaster. Everything's terrible. We need to prepare people for the military, the defense industry, and the CIA, which is, schools have never done that. That's ridiculous. And they go on to say, what's the answer? The answer is we need to have more choice, more privately managed charter schools, more vouchers, higher standards, et cetera, et cetera. But this is the meme. This is the trope. I reviewed that report in the most recent issue of the New York Review of Books and showed how ridiculous it was because, in fact, very little that they say is true. It's just an argument for saying our schools are failing. Let's turn more of them over to private management. So I think that it's in terms of the survival of the public sector, the survival of democratic institutions, we must have a strong public education system. I think what the point that this Council on Foreign Relations report did not acknowledge, although one of the dissenters did, is that the school systems that we look at enviously are all public education systems. They could not find a single school system in the country, in the world, not in this country, but in the world, that had privatization that was an outstanding school system. It's only in this country where we are allowing these private organizations to come in and take over, skim off kids, exclude the kids with special needs, and call that reform.
Well, Diane Ravitch, I thank you so much for joining us here today. This has been a fascinating conversation, and albeit an alarming one, and I do hope that that we're not on an inexorable path towards a greater ignorance in this country, that you've mentioned the ebb and flow of politics. But I'm certainly, I'm waiting with bated breath for the pushback here against this mendacious...
The pushback is not going to come from anyone that I know of right now at the top. It's going to come from the public. It's going to come from an informed public that understands what's being taken from it, and that their children will have to be chosen to go to a privately managed school. And if their scores are low, they may be kicked out. That's not what public education is about. So we have to preserve the public sector, and we can't let that be privatized. And I think that as the public understands that, we're going to see a rising that will change the conversation, but it won't be this year.
Well, thank you again for joining us, Diane Ravitch.
Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with Diane Ravitch, who's a professor in New York University Steinhardt School of Education and one of America's best-known education experts. She served as Assistant Secretary of Education under George H.W. Bush and through extensive speaking and writing, including books such as Left Back and The Language Police. She established a reputation as a conservative champion of school choice, testing standards, No Child Left Behind, and other programs aimed at making schools more efficient and effective. In her latest book, The Death and Life of the Great American School System, Ravitch explains how she came to make a radical break with these policies, and she now blogs at dianeravitch.net. We're going to take a brief station break and be back with the patriarch of the anti-globalism movement.
We're all presidents, we're all congressmen, we're all cops.